Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It's always our delight to hear your thoughts, some call it putting in my 2 cents worth. Well, you can put in a dime's worth what your thoughts are and your questions and comments. We always enjoy and are blessed by having the dialogue and the discussion with you. We're going to do a brief monologue, and after the monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about an interesting subject or issue today. It is a burden to me because what I see taking place in the Christian world, some of the things, the dogmas, and some of the denominational, fallacies in relationship to what ought to be done and how it should be done in serving the Lord, and even about salvation, of how that comes about. We'll talk about an issue today. Worship, Saturday or Sunday? Question mark. Worship, Saturday or Sunday? Question mark. Should Christians worship on the Sabbath, the seventh day, or the first day of the week? Should Christians submit to and embrace the Judeo laws, the Jewish laws? Is that necessary? Do we live under the law, or do we live under grace? Those are questions that begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Ladies and gentlemen, it's absolutely amazing to me to find the variety of beliefs and different dogmas that's advocated by the denominational facts in America today, and even in some of the Christian cults, where there's a mindset that you've got to have certain rituals, rules, and regulations to call it salvation. There's a continuing argument. That argument is, what day do you worship on? Now listen, this broadcast is not designed to make anybody angry, to get you upset. The broadcast that we're talking about today, the issue that we're covering today, is very serious. It can make the difference in what you believe theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. It can make the difference whether or not you're depending on works for salvation, or you're depending on grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a continuing argument as to the day to worship. Many of the messianic congregations today feel that you've got to keep all of the Jewish holy days, holidays, the festival days, and worship on the Sabbath day. Now, if that's your position, I'd love to hear your debate on it. I'd love to hear your benevolent conversation on it. We're not going to get angry, upset. But if you are in that category, I'd sure love to hear your testimony as to where you find it in the Scripture and why you find that it's necessary to worship as a Christian on the seventh day, Sabbatarian worship, as it is called. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the Christian cults are convinced that if you do not worship on Saturday, the Sabbath day, that you are not only wrong, but you're going to hell. We're going to talk about that today, but let me remind you, as we talk about these issues that I believe are prevalent, we should embrace the truth. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. This is the reason I call it the truth book, looking at the truth of the Word of God. That should be the final arbiter. That should be the final determiner in anything that we do and say in the spiritual realm. Is what does the Word of God say? Do we just come up with our own rules and regulations? Is it we come up with our own philosophical mindset and the dogma from a denominational belief? Should we believe what has been established back in about, what was it? I believe it was 1834, I've forgotten. We'll look at it in a moment. The Seventh-day Adventist. Do you believe what they say, what they've come up with their dogma, and disbelieve and not embrace the worship day from about the first century and following? Which do we choose? We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but let me remind you, we go back to the truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel titled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it hates those who speak it. I'll go back to one of the statements from the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint said this in part, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stick to the truth book. There are a lot of people today that want to deny the truth, recognize that there's somehow, some way they want to believe or embrace something that someone else has said, or a dogma from some denomination. That's very dangerous. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, is that we stick to the truth. What does the Word of God say? Listen to the truth, learn it, live it, love it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it. And as I say so often, with a little parenthetical footnote, Charlie Kirk was doing that very thing when he was assassinated for telling the truth. There are a lot of folks today that hate to hear the truth, reject the truth, will not embrace the truth because somehow, some way, we're in a society today where there's a bifurcation of truth, and I've always said a half-truth is a whole lie. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time's got a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Good question. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have in the studio around the round table Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. Both these men I have great respect for and the recognition of their deep bastion of knowledge of the Word of God and the stand on the truth of the Word of God. Dr. Davis, say a few opening remarks to our listeners today before we take time later to get into the very subject at hand.
Well, I want to say praise God for being here on today and thank God to all of you that are listening on today, to my family and friends, amen, that are out there today. And we certainly hope that you will listen attentively so that you won't get entangled into so many of the errors that men have made down through the years, not knowing the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Amen. We are here today, amen, to give you information based on the scriptures, not on traditional teaching, mm-hmm. not on denominational teaching, but on the Word of God. If you start out right, you will end up right. Amen? Praise God.
Absolutely. I like that statement. Dr. Phelps, say a few introductory words, but in that, I want you to address for us and for our listeners why it is so vital to study the Scripture, to know the Word, and to abandon the dogma that is so often attached to the word with a lens of what does the scripture say, not what does the denomination say. Is it important for a person, a Christian, to study the word, to know the word, or is it just something that can be flippantly viewed, as so often I believe is happening in modern society today, where a person goes to a church where there's the rock and roll music and the feel good and the entertainment, but they do not know the word of God. What happens in that case? Speak to that for a moment as we get into this subject today.
Good morning. I trust that this will be an informative time for all of us as we look into the scriptures to find and learn the truth. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 25, verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." That was David. King David wrote those words, and he was a man who wanted to know the will of God as taught in the scriptures. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God said of him, "He's a man after mine own heart." We need to know the truth. Jesus said concerning those who would be disciples, and he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed."
Yes.
Notice he says continue. We must stay in the word. The original word that's used for continue in John chapter 8, verse 31, is the word meno, a Greek word pronounced like we would say meno, like a little fish. Mm-hmm. But I found that that same word is used in other places as well as in John, but especially in John's writing, to talk about someone who dwells in the word, who spends time in the scriptures, who searches the scriptures, abiding in the word. In John chapter 15, mm-hmm. The word abide is used. So what he's saying to us, we need to stay in the word, abide in the word, study the word, and ask to be taught the truth.
Absolutely.
And God will then hear us. That's a request that we can ask in prayer and know that God will answer our prayer. God wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God wants us to know the Word, because Jesus said shortly after those words in John 8:31, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we need to know the Word, so that we'll be free of confusion, free from the wrong kind of teaching, free from the kind of teaching that we're talking about today that we should not follow.
Amen. Absolutely. And if we know the real thing, we can reject the substitute.
Yes, sir.
That's the bottom line. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the study to show thyself approved unto God. That's the word dokimos, approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And that means to cut it straight. Rightly dividing. It's to cut it straight. And that's what we're talking about today. The need to recognize what the word of God says, not substitute God's word for a denominational dogma. That is so important, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about worship. Is it Saturday or Sunday? And I have chosen to use as a model for that what is called Sabbatarian worship. And that is found in the Seventh-day Adventist. I want us to look at, and I'll talk about it in a few minutes, and then get our men around the table to respond. Then we'll get into the absolutes of what the Scripture says, contrary to what others believe. By the way, it was Walter Martin, and Walter Martin's cult Bible, he called it. He had the entire King James Bible, and every verse, every text that's used by the cults as with a false interpretation, he had it underlined and marked in it in the printed edition. And he is the only one that I've seen in less than 100 years now that related to the stand of the Seventh-day Adventist, calling them a Christian cult. And yet we have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that's involved in that today. Seventh-day Adventist cult. It says you're going to hell if you worship on Sunday. Seventh-day Adventists say that you've accepted the mark of the beast if you worship on Sunday. And you have no chance of going to heaven, that you're going to die and go to hell. You must worship on the Sabbath day. And they use, the latest gentlemen, Seventh-day Adventists use that text in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, listen very carefully. We're going to talk about that extensively in this broadcast. And we'd love to hear from you with your questions. If you're in a church where you're worshiping and they require you to worship on the Sabbath day, now listen, let me just cut through the chase for just a moment, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. I don't care what day you worship on. I believe 7 days we need to worship the Lord Jesus. We need to recognize him, honor him, submit and surrender unto his lordship each and every day. But there are those that feel that if you go to the church house, it's not church, we call it the church, it's the building where the church meets. The ecclesia is the called out ones, those that are saved, those that are Christians. But in Seventh-day Adventism, there's a real dogma about worshiping on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Why is it so easy for them to do that? Well, let me just say this, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. If you're confused about who Jesus Christ is, if you're confused about the triunity of the Godhead, if you're confused about the fact that Jesus Christ is God and not just created by God, as Seventh-day Adventists believe, if you believe that Jesus Christ is God and he is not the brother of Lucifer, then it's pretty easy for them to make a transition then to have the dogmatic feel that I've got to worship on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. I've got to have a Sabbath worship or I'm going to hell. Now, to me, that's keeping people enslaved to a lie, a demonic delusion that they labor under, thinking that somehow, some way, they've got to adhere to that. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go, listen, this is a big broad brush. If you're going to believe that somehow, some way, you can be saved by faith, but you've got to live under the law, you're rejecting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came, he said in Matthew 5:17, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The word destroy, that means to annul, to in some way circumvent, in some way modify or change. Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of the law. And the law for the Jew, the covenant recognition of God's law with the Jewish people, was the Sabbath day, seventh day, and keeping it holy. Dr. Phelps, respond to that briefly so that our listeners will understand the purpose. I'm trying to use the Seventh-day Adventist cult. They call them Christian cult because they claim to be Christian, but they're a cult based on their theological doctrinal dogma. If that is the case, what should we say, Dr. Phelps, for our listeners that think that, well, you know, I've been worshiping on the Sabbath. I know a lot of people today, that say that they're saved and they're in the Messianic Christian organization. Messianic Christian church will have, they're going to worship on all the holidays, all the holy days, all the Sabbatarian days, all the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations under Judaism. So, Dr. Phelps, the question is, when a person gets saved, are we still under the law? Are we still required to adhere to the Jewish laws in order to be saved?
We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not, the citizens of Israel. Mm-hmm. God made a covenant with Moses and the people of Israel. And according to the book of Exodus, chapters 20 and chapters 31 also, the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. But that sign set them apart from the rest of the world so that they would not be confused with other religions or other peoples. They're a special people in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Mm-hmm. To tell us that.
Yes, when he said it's finished, he was saying that all that God intended to do or needed to do to make salvation available to me and you is done. Mm-hmm. It's the work of God is done. And so there are several passages in the scriptures, and especially in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, where we're taught that we don't have to do anything in the way of works to accomplish what God set out to do and has finished. It's already done.
That's right.
And so salvation is something that we have in Christ. He has finished. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we can rest in his finished work.
Absolutely.
We don't need the Sabbath rest to accomplish that. It's already done.
That's right. And we'll look at it in just a moment, Dr. Davis, but I've got several dozen texts in relationship to the Sabbath day. In fact, I believe total in the scripture, the word Sabbath is mentioned, I believe, if I'm not, could be mistaken, but if I'm not mistaken, it's 137 times Sabbath, and in Sabbaths plural, 35 occasions. I think the total is about 172 times in the scripture, Sabbath or Sabbaths plural are mentioned. So the question is, Dr. Davis, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and his shed blood is efficacious to cover our sins, why should there be a mindset that somehow, some way, Christians need to adhere to, uphold, embrace the Jewish covenant laws that God gave the Jewish people? Is that applicable today? Should Christians be burdened with works also after they have said yes to Christ as Savior, if they have said yes? What are you thinking? What's your thinking?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, here's what I had to learn by way of personal experience many years ago, because I found myself doing things to gain approval of men.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work when it comes down to salvation. We have to please God.
That's right.
So I searched the scriptures, and this is one of them that I found many years ago in Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse number 16. It says here, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come."
Mm-hmm.
"But the body is of Christ."
That's right.
I had to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because many people, many times, I have been around many preachers preaching out of both sides of their mouth saying, "Don't do as I do, but do as I say do."
Mm-hmm.
If the leader, if the head is wrong, then quite naturally the body is always going to be wrong.
That's right.
So that's why you heard me say in the beginning of the broadcast, if you start out right, you will end up right.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can start out right is by searching the scriptures and then obeying, living it out, walking it through in your Christian life. Then doing that, you will be doing things that's pleasing in the eyesight of God. It goes on to say in verse 18, "Let no man"
mm-hmm.
"beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which ye have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." See, once again, like I said, some are preaching out of both sides of their mouth. They haven't seen these things. They haven't searched the scriptures themselves. And I'm just going to say that to the shame of a lot of preachers
mm-hmm.
that are doing that today. You're misleading your congregation willfully because you have not searched the scriptures and you don't know these things to be a fact.
That's the reason, and I'll insert this little ad. That's the reason for Conservative Theological University.
Amen.
It's to train preachers,
amen.
To train laymen, to train Christian educators, to train those that are on the mission field, to train those that are in evangelism, how to interpret the scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
A lot of folks that will have the mindset, well, God called me to preach, so I just open up and let her fly.
Amen.
And that simply doesn't work when it comes to teaching people. And the pastor has that responsibility from the pulpit to preach the truth,
amen.
Without any any error, without any fear or favor. But what does the word say? Go ahead.
And just listen now, one more verse. Now, verse 19 is the most important. It says, and not holding the head. That word head right there in my Bible, left column, middle ways down the page,
Amen.
If I can use that. That H on that word is capitalized.
That's right.
Telling me that that represents God, or it represents Christ, who is God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, in other words, you don't even recognize who the head is, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered. How is the body nourished except through the bread, the true bread that comes from heaven, and the written word, which is Christ. He says, by having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Now, once again, it started out with God being the head, and when you got down to the end of that verse, it called his name plainly, God.
Right.
So now, here you have been misled because you have not known the truth of the scriptures, and you're teaching things by tradition, by denomination, being passed down by men through generations and generations.
That's right.
Telling you that this is the way that things should be done in order for you to live a life that's pleasing to God. And now the blind is leading the blind. So guess what Jesus said? Both of them are going to fall into the ditch.
Yes.
So we don't need that today. And this is why we are here. We're trying to make sure you know and understand Christians are not bound by the law. We are living under grace. We are the new covenant, New Testament church. And when Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, he ratified the new covenant so that the new covenant church, the believers today, don't have to be bound by the law, because they have been fulfilled by Christ doing what he did when he died on the cross and rose from the dead.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue. Worship, Saturday or Sunday? Which is biblical for the Christian church, Saturday or Sunday worship? And I go back, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What is your position on that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe we should worship on Saturday or Sunday? What is the biblical Christian New Testament worship day? And how do we know that? What do we see in the scripture? I go back to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go to other verses, and we will in a moment, that will validate that God's day of worship for the Christian church, is on the first day of the week, on Sunday. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the fact that we're talking about the Seventh-day Adventist. The Seventh-day Adventists have the mindset somehow, some way, that they are God's only real church, and they are observing the Sabbath day as the seal of God for salvation. Their terms, not mine. Observing the Sabbath day is the seal of God for your salvation. Sunday worship is the mark of the beast, as I said earlier, under Seventh-day Sabbatarian mindset. If you worship on Sunday, you're lost. You've taken the mark of the beast, and you're going to hell. Jesus Christ in Seventh-day Adventist is he's identified as Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel is Jesus in their understanding. Jesus sacrificed on the cross, and his sacrifice, according to Seventh-day Adventists, listen carefully, this is their dogmatic statement. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did not complete our atonement. And since 1844, Jesus has been continually applying his blood in heaven as an ongoing atonement for our sins. Now, somebody pull that right out of the ear. Because there's nothing that you'll find that will validate that any place in biblical teaching. Salvation is by faith, but your salvation is maintained by keeping the Ten Commandments, right out of the guidelines for Seventh-day Adventism. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about looking at the truth of the Word of God versus following a Christian cult and Sabbatarian belief, and multitudes follow that today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our study and our thought on worship Saturday or Sunday. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit